Hey, I'm Chris.
What's up? I'm Mars.
And you're listening to Surgery Shelf Prep. What's good, future surgeons? Today we're diving headfirst into a topic that's super high yield for your shelf exam, abdominal trauma.
For real. When you've got a patient rolling in with abdominal trauma, whether it's blunt or penetrating, you gotta be sharp. The big goal here is to stop preventable deaths. And you know what the number one preventable death after torso trauma is? Unrecognized solid organ or pelvic bleeds. So, no sleeping on the job.
We're talking about managing injuries to those vital organs like the spleen, liver, and kidneys, which are often the main culprits. We're going to break down the classic presentations, pathophysiology, diagnosis, management, and those tricky pitfalls you need to dodge on exam day and in real life.
Let's kick it off with the spleen. Because honestly, it's the victim here for blunt abdominal trauma injuries.
Absolutely. When you hear left upper quadrant blow, think spleen. This often happens in motor vehicle collisions and can present with left-sided rib fractures. But here's a pro tip for your shelf. Don't assume a normal chest x-ray and no rib fracture rules out a spleen injury.
And then there's the Keir sign. What is that again?
That's when a patient experiences referred pain to their left shoulder. It's from irritation of the diaphragm, often due to blood from a splenic rupture. This is classic for spleen or diaphragmatic tears because the phrenic nerve, C3 through C5, is involved. It's a major clue. Pathophysiology-wise, it's often a capsule tear leading to parenchymal bleeding.
So how do we diagnose the splenic assault?
If your patient is hemodynamically stable, you're going for a computed tomography scan with intravenous contrast. You're looking for a contrast blush, which tells you there's active bleeding. If they're unstable, you don't have time for a CT. You're doing a FAST exam. If that FAST is positive, they're heading straight to the operating room. Remember, no CT when unstable. That's an avoidable mortality trap.
Solid. And for management for low-grade injuries and stable patients, it's usually non-operative management with serial hemoglobin and hematocrit checks. But if there's a contrast blush or higher grades, interventional radiology with angioembolization might be needed. This means the physician typically accesses the femoral artery, passes a catheter through the vessels to the splenic artery, and drops coils or gel foam to plug the vessels feeding the spleen. For any injury and the patient is unstable, consider splenectomy through a trauma laparotomy.
And for the shelf, the post-splenectomy care is super important. You've got to vaccinate against encapsulated organisms like Streptococcus pneumoniae, Haemophilus influenza type B, and Neisseria meningitidis. And for young children, daily oral penicillin is the move. Also, monitor those platelets. Expect transient thrombocytosis, and if it goes wild, like over 1 million, they might need low-dose aspirin. The trap here is discharging them without these vaccines to prevent post-splenectomy sepsis.
Next up, let's talk about the liver, the body's biggest organ and another frequent target in abdominal trauma.
You got it. Think right upper quadrant impact. On FAST, you'll see fluid in Morrison's pouch, which is the right upper quadrant. Pathophysiologically, it's often a shear injury. Liver injuries tend to ooze rather than spurt because of their high flow and low pressure system.
So for diagnosis, again, CT with intravenous contrast is your go-to for stable patients, especially with arterial and portal phases for grading.
Right. Contrast CT studies are very important for looking at solid organs.
And treatment for liver injuries is usually non-operative management for low-grade injuries. If there is active bleeding seen as a blush and patient is stable, interventional radiology angioembolization is clutch. When do we operate?
You're operating for shock or peritonitis. Operation includes a trauma laparotomy and maybe either stitches, removal of part of the liver, or packing.
What are we thinking if you successfully treated a patient non-operatively, then they developed fevers and right upper quadrant pain?
These patients need a CT or HIDA scan to evaluate for a biloma. If you find a biloma, an interventional radiology drain is key, and sometimes an ERCP with a biliary stent to reduce ductal pressure. The stent helps direct bile flow into the duodenum instead of out through the injury. Rarely these patients need an additional surgery to wash out the bile and place a surgical drain.
Okay, moving on to the kidneys.
Kidneys are different because they're retroperitoneal. So what's a classic renal injury vignette?
You're looking for a flank blow or rapid deceleration injury with growth or microscopic hematuria. The catch is FAST is often negative because the kidneys are retroperitoneal. and injuries are often contained. So relying on FAST to rule out a renal bleed is a total noob move.
Absolutely. Diagnosis is with CT IV contrast, but you need that delayed excretory phase, those 10-minute images, to catch any urine leaks. For pathophysiology, remember that the encasing hematoma can sometimes compress the kidney parenchyma, leading to PAGE kidney.
PAGE kidney? Sounds like a shelf question waiting to happen. What is it?
It's when a patient develops refractory hypertension days after flank trauma and a CT shows a tense subcapsular hematoma. It's basically secondary hypertension from renal ischemia. You treat it with percutaneous evacuation or partial nephrectomy. Don't miss that. But here's a brain melter. What's the other traumatic injury that can lead to high blood pressure?
Head trauma and the Cushing reflex, leading to hypertension, bradycardia, and irregular respirations just prior to brain herniation.
Bogus! So for kidney management, low-grade injuries get conservative treatment with bed rest and periodic hemoglobin and hematocrit checks. If there's an active arterial extravasation, consider interventional radiology angioembolization. Watch out for urinomas, which is a urine leak from the kidney. This can be diagnosed with a CT scan and treated with an IR drain. These patients may also need a stent or a nephrostomy tube to divert the urine.
And for the big guns, like an unstable patient with a shattered kidney or a pedicle avulsion, you're doing an emergent nephrectomy.
That was a lot of info, but so crucial for surviving the shelf. Let's wrap this up with 5 high-yield facts that you absolutely need to nail for your exam.
1. Unstable patients get a FAST exam in potentially immediate operating room, while stable patients get a CT with intravenous contrast.
2. If a CT shows active extravasation, a contrast blush, in a stable patient with splenic, hepatic, or renal injuries, consider interventional radiology.
3. Patients who undergo splenectomy need vaccinations against encapsulated organisms like Streptococcus pneumoniae, Haemophilus influenza type B, and Neisseria meningitidis.
4. Watch out for delayed complications such as a bloma from a liver injury or a urinoma from a renal injuries. Also, patients with high-grade solid organ injuries are at risk of pseudoaneurysms, so they may need a repeat CT scan with IV contrast.
And 5, patients with urinomas are treated with an IR-guided drain. If you test the fluid, it'll be high in creatinine. As a side note, if the fluid is high in triglycerides, then it is a lymphatic leak, and if it is high in amylase, then you are looking at a pancreatic leak.
All right, team, keep studying. We will see you next time here on Surgery Shelf Prep.
Later.